like to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13 and starting in verse number 45. And when you found your place, would like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. This is very familiar scripture. And I hope tonight that maybe God would touch you in a mighty way. If you're here tonight and saved by God's amazing grace, maybe the Lord would speak to your heart and encourage you and lift you up and help you to draw closer to Him. And if you're here tonight lost without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, my prayer is that God would just get on you tonight. I just pray that the Holy Ghost would get your heart and you would see how much He really loves you. You see, we've got a misconception of God. God's not on the throne right now with a big zapper on the end of His finger trying to knock people out and try to take them out. He is on the throne seeking sinners to be saved by His amazing grace. We have such a wonderful Savior. He is so amazing. I think there's not enough words to tell how lovely He is, Brother Wynn. He's altogether lovely. He's wonderful. And I love my Lord tonight. We have two little verses here, Matthew 13, verse 45. The Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You tonight. Lord, You have been so wonderful to us this week. Lord, I feel like You've touched some folks here at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And Lord, I feel like a revival is coming. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that You'd move in a mighty way through this service. Lord, I pray that You'd touch the hearts of each individual here. Lord, I pray that You would fill us up with the Spirit of God tonight. Help us to be obedient unto Thee. Lord, Your Word said to obey is better than sacrifice. Lord, we want to obey You tonight. God, if You'd have us to shout, give us a voice that would echo through these hollers. God, if You'd have us just to be reverent of the Holy Spirit of God, help us to do Thy will tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd magnify Yourself tonight. Come by in great glory that we would leave here tonight saying it, it's been good to be in the house of God. Lord, I pray to anoint me Thy servant tonight. God, without You, Lord, I'm helpless. Lord, without You, I'd never be able to stand. Lord, I'd never be able to preach or utter one word. But, oh God, I pray tonight You'd come by and touch this little preacher. Use me tonight to magnify Jesus' name. Lord, I ask You to bind my heart and my tongue that nothing would come of the flesh. But, Lord, I pray that You'd speak to hearts tonight. And we'll thank You, Lord, for all You do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The Lord would be my help tonight. I want to preach a message on the pearl that cost God everything He had. We see this scripture here, these two little verses, I believe, in a lot of your modern easy-believe society and easy-believe church, that they're very misinterpreted. I want to give you what the modernists believe this is. The modernist crowd, that easy-believism crowd, would like you to believe that this parable is talking about sinners seeking Christ, that this merchant man is somehow a sinner that is seeking salvation, and when he finally found salvation, that he sold all that he had. But I would like to say tonight, there were several flaws in that theory, in that doctrine. First of all, friend, we do not seek Christ. We are commanded to seek Christ in Deuteronomy, but the Bible says in Romans that none seeketh after God. We, friend, the night that we got saved, I would say we weren't looking for God. We weren't seeking salvation, but the God of glory had sought us out that night. Friend, we can't seek salvation. It's not inside of us to seek it. And by somehow, if we was to seek it, they say that They'd sell all that he had. See, modernism tells you just got to sell out to God. You got to sell all you have. But friend, I would beg to differ tonight. You have nothing to sell to Christ. Some would say, well, preacher, I'll sell my righteousness. But God said our righteousness is but filthy rags. Some say I'd sell out and I'd give him my good works. But the Bible says none is good. No, not one. Some might say that I'll give God all the faith I've got. Can I say tonight, you have no faith? It is a gift of God according to Ephesians chapter number 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I would have to refute that modern crowd that Christ is for sale. Friend, if there was a sinner seeking Christ and they sold all that they had, that would mean Christ is for sale. I would beg to differ tonight. Christ is not for sale. He is not up on the shelf waiting and wondering for someone to sell all that they have to buy him. God cannot be bought with our good works. God cannot be bought with anything we offer him. I must say tonight that Christ is not for sale. He is not for sale in any way, shape, or form. That's the modern crowd that teaches you that you have to work for your salvation, that God can be obtained through our own righteousness, through our faith. But until Christ touches us, Brother Wynn, we have absolutely nothing to offer him. That night at Mount Ephraim Baptist Church, I was not seeking Christ. I was there for some other reason. But I'm telling you, the God of glory had me right in his bullseye like a hunter with a deer. And he pulled the trigger. Friend, I couldn't offer him nothing. But through his wonderful, marvelous, amazing grace, he picked me out of the crowd and chose me. And I bless his sweet name. I had nothing to offer Christ, yet he took me in the fold, just as little worm as I. Boy, I tell you that God's grace is the most glorious, unexplainable thing in the Bible. I can't explain it in words, but I just appreciate him. When I had nothing to offer him, he took me in by his grace. There's not a man living today, or a woman that's ever lived or ever died, that said that God didn't seek them out. Because God has sought every sinner out in this world and tried to save them. But the modernists would like to believe that Christ is for sale. He's not for sale. I believe this scripture we're dealing with tonight has to do with a glorious Savior seeking out ungodly, lost sinners. Sinners who deserve no mercy. Sinners that did not deserve grace. Sinners that deserve nothing, but yet God looked down in his infinite mercy and said, I want them, Jamie. I want them all from the bottom to the top, the good and the bad, the pretty and ugly. Every one of them, I want them. We see, number one, the pearl that cost God everything. We've got to understand this scripture is dealing with Jesus Christ seeking sinners for salvation, is what this is. Number one, we see the purpose of the text. The Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. We would say that merchant man here is Jesus Christ. He is the merchant man. If you look through the seven parables of Matthew number 13, you'll find in the first and the second parable that the sower went forth to sow is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not speaking of men sowing the word. And so with that, we understand that the merchant man here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I say he had a purpose in the scripture? The Lord just didn't come to live and breathe and occupy space. He is not in heaven right now twiddling his thumbs wondering what's going on. He's not in heaven right now keeping the earth spinning or planting stars in the Milky Way. My friend, the purpose of Christ Jesus tonight is simply one of seeking out sinners that need a Savior. He is seated on the right hand of glory tonight, looking over the landscape of heaven, searching the hearts of men, looking deep inside beyond the walls, and searching out sinners to be saved by His wonderful, amazing, and marvelous grace. Aren't you glad one day when you weren't seeking Christ or seeking salvation that the God of glory put His eye on you, fell in love with you, looked at you when nobody could love you? I had a heart for you when no one else had a heart for you and could have passed you up that night. But aren't you glad that He said, "When I've come for you tonight"? Amen. Hallelujah. I told you the other night when God saved me 5 years ago at Mount Ephraim Baptist Church, there was a lot better folks in the building that night, but the God of glory wanted me. Hallelujah. I've never been wanted for nothing. But He had a purpose. See, He came looking for me, and I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't looking for Jesus, and you weren't either. According to what the Bible says in Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none. That word none means nobody, not one, none that seeketh after God. I was there that night to get everybody off my back. I was there that night for every other reason in the world, but God had something else in store for me. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Isn't it amazing? No matter where we're at in this world tonight, no matter what wall we're hiding behind, no matter what we're playing or what games we're doing, and it might seem like we're in a million miles from nowhere. It might seem like we're in the deepest, darkest valley that we've ever been in. It might seem like that nobody in the world cares or nobody loves you, and it seems like there is no hope. Friend, I'm telling you, there is hope, because God sees down in the valley where men are. God looks through the storm where we're at, and God sees the frail conditions of our little souls when, and He knows what we need, and He knows how to get our attention, and He knows what's best for us. I'm glad to say that then when I wasn't seeking Christ, that He loved me enough to come where I was at, a broken drug addict, without hope, lost without God, yet He could find somebody like me. See, the thing is, when I was lost and I was on drugs, I could disappear pretty easy. I'd go hide out somewhere, and I thought nobody could find me. Friend, you might be here tonight, hiding from God, thinking that He can't find you. Oh, He knows where you're at tonight. Because like I said, this merchant man, he had a purpose. Seeking out goodly pearls. Friend, if you're here tonight lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, He is searching this place for you. Chances are He's done found you like that little sheep. Let's read in Luke chapter number 15, verse 4. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." It's interesting here, and I would say that it wasn't the sheep that was looking to be saved. It wasn't the sheep here looking and calling for a Savior when it got out there on the mountain. There's a Savior. There's a man looking for a sheep.
because he knew it was lost. He knew it was in the wilderness, knew it needed help, knew that he couldn't make it home by itself. So he left all that he had, left it all behind, and he went out to the mountains in the wilderness and began to call his name. Friend, I dare say this week that the Lord's been calling your name. He's been speaking to you where you're at, lost out there in the wilderness, and he's been calling your name night after night, night after night. And he's here tonight, and he's calling your name, and he's not forcing you to come. He's giving you that sweet, tender call that says, come to me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Christ is not calling you to do something great tonight. Christ is calling you to come to his bosom, that he might carry you out of the wilderness of sin and set you in heavenly places and rejoice with you tonight and mend your wounds and lift you up and restore you back to health. Friend, God is simply seeking you tonight. That is his purpose. That's the purpose of Jesus Christ, is seeking sinners. Friend, if you're here lost tonight, he loves you so much. He's put everything on hold to seek your little heart that you thought that nobody cared about or nobody knew. That's a mighty purpose, isn't it, Brother Wynn? There are plenty of good jobs in this world, but I tell you, there's no more glorious job than the present work of Christ. See, we tend to forget that. We like to remember Jesus maybe as a little baby in the manger, helpless there, laying by himself. Or sometimes we like to picture Jesus as the Savior dying upon the old rugged cross, but we fail to realize he's still working today in the hearts of men. He has a present work today, and it's seeking out sinners. Be saved by his marvelous grace. Friend, we should rejoice tonight in the fact that God loved us so much that he sought us out when we couldn't do nothing about it. What a Savior. Hallelujah. So we see the purpose of the text. Let's look at the pearl of the text. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price. See that pearl here, the goodly pearls, you see it's plural, and then it comes back to one, it's singular. The pearls here is talking about individual sinners that were saved, and the pearl is a picture of the church. Christ shed his blood for the church. For those that were saved by his amazing grace, that's who he bled and died for. For every man, every woman, every boy and girl ever living, when we're saved, we're put into an unseen thing, not these four walls, not a membership roll, but on the roll of glory, and we become the pearl of great price. See, notice first he's seeking out goodly pearls. That's the individual sinners. And one day the last goodly pearls will be saved, and God will call his church home, and we'll become the pearl of God's eye, the pearl of his affection. See, when God set this thing up, it's beautiful if you look at how many similarities there are between a pearl. We all know what a pearl is, ladies. That beautiful necklace, those pearls that are so beautiful that men have sought, that have went to the depths of the sea, and people give their lives for to go down there to bring up one little gem that a lady might wear, and it become an object of beauty, something that one could gaze upon and look and find pleasure in. And oh friend, the similarities between the church and the pearls. Number one, a pearl is a picture of unity, much like the church. If you take a piece of gold and you cut a piece of gold in half, Brother Jamie, you have two pieces of gold. If you take a piece of silver and cut a piece of silver in half, you have two pieces of silver. But friend, if you take a pearl and cut it in half, you have damaged goods. And friend, the church is only strong. It's only there when we have complete unity one with another, not fighting on this side or bickering on that side. But my friend, how beautiful it is in the eyes of our Savior when we can come together for a revival meeting and come together for the cause of Christ to lift His name up. How God look down on His pearl as it shines, being unified as the body of Christ. My goodness, what a picture of unity that pearl is. The pearl, see the church fights and the church bickers and it breaks up. It's not a pearl, it's damaged goods. There's a lot of churches out there tonight that are fighting and bickering and splitting their damaged goods, and they're not shining for the cause of Christ. But friend, we should lay aside our differences tonight and our bickering and our quarrels, because the cause of Christ is something that's far greater than our little quarrels and our bickering. We have got to become a unified body of Christ to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. What a mighty cause. See, we see the pearl as a picture of unity. We also see the pearl is a product of living, of a living creature, and a pearl is formed from suffering. See, way down deep in the ocean depths, there's a little shellfish called an oyster. And it's closed up in a shell, and sometimes a little piece of sand will slip inside that oyster and it becomes an offending party. It becomes a wound or a bruise in the sight of that pearl. So the oyster begins to put nacre out, and it covers that wound up, and it keeps adding to it, until one day the offending party becomes something beautiful in its sight. My friend, what a picture of the church that is today. That some 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the Lord was bruised by men. The Lord was put to shame and put to death by sinful men. And can I say today, what 2,000 years ago was that which bruised the side of Christ and pierced His nail in His hand, has become an object of beauty. I'm telling you, the church tonight, because the suffering 2,000 years ago can be beautiful tonight. What a picture of a pearl. That little piece of sand that offended the living party becomes something beautiful. I tell you, friend, your sin was an offense to Christ. It wounded Him. He shed its blood, it pierced its side, but He's just been taking that one little piece of sand that got in His side. He's been molding it into something beautiful today. Jamie, and I'm not much, and I don't look like much, and don't claim to be much, but I'm part of something beautiful that goes beyond what the world can see and goes beyond the eyes of man, but something that God looks down upon. And there's not much in this world that makes Him smile, but I believe when He looks at His pearl, He's smiling tonight. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Also, the pearl, much like the church, comes from a lowly origin. You see, those oysters, they don't congregate in the coral reefs. They don't congregate around the beautiful sand, the white sand beaches. They don't congregate in the beautiful parts of the ocean. But the oysters which produce the pearls come from way down deep in the bottom depths of the ocean, where the muck and the mire was, down there in the filth, down there in the cast off. My friend, can I say tonight, when the Lord found you, you wasn't in a coral reef swimming, you wasn't on the sandy seashore, but you was down there in the muck and the mire of sin, down there in the muck and the mire of shame. And much like those oysters, a man has to come from way up top and go way down there to the bottom. I'm here to say tonight, Christ left heaven a long way up there and descended down to the depths of the sea, down there in the muck and the mire, way down in the hall. dog pen where you was at, and when he saw you, there was much work to get you, friend. It wasn't easy for Christ to come and bleed and die, yet he did. And I bless his holy name. When I stuck down the mug in the mire and I couldn't get out, had God searched over the world and pulled me up out of the mug and the mire. And I bless the sweet name of Jesus Christ tonight. And nobody could pull me up. AA couldn't pull me up. NA couldn't pull me up. Religion didn't do none for me. But yet the lovely hand of the Lord Jesus Christ reached down where nobody could and plucked this sinner out. And I say, bless the name of Jesus Christ tonight. The best psalm to me, Psalm 41 and 3. Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard me cry. Way down there in the muck and the mire, nobody else could hear this little sinner crying. Way down in the muck and the mire where nobody else even cared. But yet God was listening. Yet God was looking. And he inclined unto me. He turned his ear unto me. He looked at me. Me, nobody, you and nobody looked at you. And he heard your cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Those little pearls are pulled out of the muck and the mire, out of the bottom of the ocean floor. And they are put upon necklaces, they are put on rings, they are put up for the world to see. My friend, when God saved you, he didn't save you to put you on a pew sucking God's air and blowing it out. God didn't save you to sit on a bench and not ever do nothing for him. God pulled you up out of the muck and the mire. He set you upon the rock, Jesus Christ, and he's wanting you to shine tonight like the pearl that men can see and men can desire to want and women can see and desire to want. My friend, tonight God will polish you up and God will shine you up and use you to draw men to him, Brother Wynn. He saved my soul when nobody else could. He washed the dirt off of me. He washed the muck of the world off of me. God forbid I ever sit on a bench. God forbid I ever sit down on Christ and never do nothing for him. When I die and I leave this world, bless your heart, I want to be shining for the cause of Jesus Christ. I want to be a pearl on the necklace of my God that men could see and say, I want that. God never intended those little pearls to stay in the muck and the mire. God doesn't intend you to stay down there, away down there. God is wanting to save your precious soul tonight and use you to bring glory to his name. We are talking about a God that can make the rocks cry. We are talking about a God who can make the trees worship, yet he desires you to do something for him on your own free will. Amen. We see the pearl, or us, this congregation of believers that were pulled out of the muck and the mire. But he said this, he was seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price. We've all heard of the great man of God, Charles Haddon, and Spurgeon had such difficult time with this passage of Scripture. Because as Spurgeon looked at himself and looked at the landscape of men, Spurgeon wondered, how in the world could he think I was of great price? It's hard for me to fathom in my mind when I was a lost drug addict that had nothing to offer God, that had not a dime in my pocket, that had not a place to lay my head or anything to offer God, that he would look at such a worm as I and say, he's of great price. Amen. That's amazing. Amen. That's why this modernist crowd is going a different way, because they cannot see how God could look at sinful man and say they're a pearl of great price. But see, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are higher than our ways, and I can't explain how God could look at such a worm as I and say he's of great price, but I bless His name for it, because I rarely feel like much. I feel like I'm just barely doing enough for God just to get by sometimes. I mean, I'm really not. As much as He's done for me, I believe the best I could ever offer Him is a bunch of filthy rags. I believe that. But how He could look at insignificant folks like us and say they are of great price is beyond me, but He does. That should help our complexion. When people put us down and say we're not anything, and I'm telling you, the world looks at us in a Friday night meeting and they think we're crazy, they think we're fanatics, they think we're losers, they think we've lost their mind, they can think what they want to. Brother, they can call me every name in the book. There's a lot of people just inform me tonight that don't like this preacher boy. There's a lot of people call me a lot of things, and I've been said a lot of things, but there is a God in glory that looks down upon me, and He thinks I'm something special tonight. Friend, don't you ever forget tonight that you are special in the eyes of a glorious, righteous, holy God. You're the pearl of great price to Him. Right, that lifts me up, Brother Jamie. When I'm down and out and people say all kinds of things about me and I feel just as low, like I've been laid on and trampled on, I'm part of that church that was worth something to Him. We are the pearl. We're the apple of God's eye, the pearl of His affection. We are the very heartbeat of God. We have His attention. Well, I want Him to shine me up when I don't want to leave this world as a part of the warm speck on that pearl that's just a little dim. I want to be the part of the pearl that's shining. My, we are such great price to the Lord. Words can't describe what that does to me. So we see the purpose in the text, we see the pearl in the text, and we see the great price in the text. We see, the Bible says, who when he had found one pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen. See, the Lord looked over the landscape of this world, and He saw from the beginning to the end, and He saw every one of us at some point in time. Brother Wynn, though He looked at us when we were nothing, He still viewed us as a pearl of great price. And He went and He sold all that He had. Now you think about that for just a minute. The Lord who created this all, the Bible said, when He found that one pearl, He sold all that He had, everything, friend. I don't think mind can fathom or the heart can endure the great price that Jesus Christ paid upon Calvary's cross when God let His Son become sin and God judged sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ paid a great price, and it wasn't in monetary value, it wasn't with dollar and cents, it wasn't with gold or silver, but it was with His precious blood. More precious than gold, more valuable than silver, but it has a price that has no price tag on it. It was His blood that He shed for worms like me and drug addicts and drugs and bad people and good people. What a price it was for Christ to give His blood. My friend, there has been a lot of men that said they have sold all that they've had for Christ. But I would say, friend, you ain't sold nothing like the Lord sold. He left glory where the angels sing praises to Him. He left the compound and the confines of heaven to live in sinful, around sinful men for you and I. He faced temptation as a man and endured it He went through every situation that you and I would have ever faced. I believe that. And he came through it. And God put on his son the sin of the world. Jesus freely went to Calvary's cross. I've heard religious people say that the Lord died of a broken heart. I would say not. I've heard men and women say that the Lord died because of a loss of blood. I would say not. They've been people that said the Lord died of his wounds in his hands and his side. I would say not. Friend, I would say the Lord died of his own free will. The Bible said that no man could take it. My friend, if Jesus didn't choose to die, he would still be on Calvary, heart beating and lungs a pumping. But my friend, he said it is finished and committed his spirit to God. They didn't kill him. He died freely for you. They didn't kill him. His heart didn't die. He didn't die of a broken heart. Christ died because we needed a Savior. Amen. And he chose to die. He said, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. Friend, I would say the Lord, I would say he sold a whole lot. I want to read you something a commentator wrote about this. And I can't tell you the man's name because I couldn't find it. But it describes what I can't even say. We are told that the merchant man not only desired this pearl and esteemed it of so great value, but he sold all he had. Those are words easily uttered. I'm afraid sometimes glibly spoken. If our minds were incapable of rising to the level of the thought that has just been expressed, who amongst us is capable of gouging what it meant for the Lord of glory, the creator of the universe, to sell all that he had? He who is rich for your sakes become poor, poorer than any of us have ever been, much poorer. So poor that he occupied a manger that one day we might occupy a mansion. So poor that he had not where to lay his head, in order that you and I, who are amongst his favored ones, might rest our heads forever on his sacred bosom. He who was rich for your sakes became poor, that through his poverty might be rich. My friend, can you fathom the thought that he became poor? He left heaven for all this, that you might be rich. Not in money, Jamie. Not with things of this world, but I'm rich. Richer than Bill Gates. Because I have somewhere to lay my head, simply because there is a Savior that loved me enough that he sold all that he had. Friend, that should do something for us, that when the God of glory gave it all, he didn't spill his blood. He shed his blood in every drop. You see them shirts that say just one drop of blood was enough. I disagree with that. One drop wouldn't have done it. He had to shed it all. And when he shed it all, friend, he took it right to the throne room of glory and made a mercy seat. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad today that after the Lord has sold all that he had, that day by day he's seeking out goodly pearls, and day by day and hour by hour and revival after revival and Sunday and Wednesday after Sunday and Wednesday, that the Lord is getting pearls and he's a forming this church for him, and sooner than later there is going to be a great trump sound from the east, and my God shall call our name, and friend, of those that have been saved by his grace will be raptured up out of this place. And I say bless his name, friend. Do you know there's not one prophecy that needs to be fulfilled that would prevent our Lord from coming back this second? At any moment, God could look at his son and say, son, the bride is complete, the pearl is ready, go get your bride. I've got a place for her. I'm going to shine her up like she's never shined before. My friend, tonight, while Christ is still working, gathering his church, if I was lost, I would run as fast as I could to the altar. I would bend down on my knee wherever I'm at, and I would ask the Lord of glory to add me to His church, because sooner than later, this thing's over. The church will be raptured out of here, friend, and it's not going to wait on you. God's not going to look over and say, "Are you ready?" One day the last sinner will bow their heads, the last pearl's getting in, and this thing's over. It's done. God ain't adding no more to His church. It's somewhat of a sobering thought to think that it could just happen like that, and the Lord descend from heaven, all our troubles, Miss Grace, are over. Brother, when all our trials, the storms, the wind, the raging sea, it's done. My friend, I can look tonight like John said in Revelation, say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, don't tarry." Friend, I tell him, "Don't tarry, come tonight, Lord, I'm ready to go." Well, I'm afraid if the Lord was to come tonight, some of you here would be left wondering what happened to the church. God is coming for the church. We see that this piece of scripture here, and I'm going to read you something in just a moment if I can find it. There it is. This scripture has application to the sinner and to the saved man, both. First to the sinner, it's telling us that it is absolutely, we have no way of working to God. If you're in here and you're trying to get into heaven because you're a member of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church or whatever Baptist church you're a member of, it's useless to Christ. He's not for sale. If you're trying to come to Christ tonight through your good works or through your righteousness, friend, you will come up short, because He is not for sale. Christ is not one that can be bought with anything we have. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Friend, if I was lost tonight, I would throw my rotten works down on the ground. I'd come to Jesus and bow before Him and ask Him to save you by His grace, because works ain't going to cut it. But to go to the saved man, the application is, are we doing enough? Are we shining like we should for Christ? Remember, we're not ours anymore, Brother Jamie. My ambition stopped at the door at Mount Ephraim Baptist Church 5 years ago. Who I wanted to be was not who I am today, because I had to become what Christ wanted me to become. See, I'm afraid we're sitting in our churches today and we've put our ambitions and our own wants and our own desires above Christ's ambitions and Christ's desire for who is the church we're supposed to be. He bought that goodly pearl of Himself. I'm His. I'm no longer able to do the things that I want to do or seek the things I want to seek anymore. I am Christ, and I'm to do what He tells me to do. I want to read you this, what this man wrote. And I really wish I could find who he was, because he wrote such a wonderful commentary here. The Bible, he said this, "And what is the word to those of us who by the grace of God have been saved? This, the pearl has been purchased by Christ. We are the purchased property of another. You are not your own, but bought with a price," according to 1 Corinthians. To what extent is that divine truth regulating our lives? We have to ask ourselves, is that regulating who we are? I'm not mine, but I'm His. How far is that fact dominating our daily walk? Remember, I'm not mine, I'm His. You're not yours, you're His. We are not our own, we belong to Christ. Do we realize that? Are we living day by day as though we realized it? Does our walk manifest it, not our own, the property of another? Then should we not say, "For me to live as Christ"? Can any of us truthfully say it, "For me to live is Christ"? Is it true that I have only one aim, only one desire, only one ambition, all my efforts concentrated on the honoring, obeying, and magnifying of Christ? Can we say that is our object tonight? is what we live for, to bring glory to His name, to bring honor to His name, to obey everything Christ has for us, I would say no. Oh, friends, this poor preacher, I can't even say it. By the grace of God, we can say that's our desire. But how far short we come of attaining to it in our daily life. May God help all His people to realize in their souls that they are not their own. No longer free, no longer have the right to plan their own life, to say what they will do or what they will not do, no longer any whatever, the purchased property of another. Our answer to that ought to be, for me to live is Christ. Oh, may divine enabling grace be granted to us to live. You see, the thing is, Christ bought us. We are His. And there's something about that tonight. If you'd be honest with yourself and you would look at your life when you were lost without God and your life was yours and you were dictating the very steps and the very places you went and the things you do, if you were truthful tonight, you said you've made a big mess out of things. Friend, in our own power and our own ambitions and our own self, if we take the steering wheel away from Christ, we'll drive this ship right in the ditch and we'll make a mess of things. But if we will be the pearl that yields our very lives, our very heart to God Almighty, there's no telling where this ship will sail. There's no telling what God might do with you. There is no telling how God would shine you up for the world to see. But we have to be willing to say, not mine but thine. Those are words easy spoken but hard to live.
Yes, sir.
Friend, oh God, help us tonight to yield ourselves to Him. We're bought with a price. What a great price it was, but I'm glad tonight that I'm His. Amen. I've just decided He can do what He wants to do with me, because, friend, when I drive it, it's a wreck and it's a mess. I want to tell you here tonight, sinner, if you're lost without God, there is a Savior seeking your little soul tonight. He's out in the mountain, He's in the valley searching high and low, and He's calling your name, and He's wanting to put you on His shoulders, and He's wanting to mend your wounds, and He's wanting to love you, and He's wanting to sit you in heavenly places, and He's wanting to fulfill your dreams. He's wanting to make something out of you. He's wanting to do something the world can't do. But friend, you're going to have to yield to Him, because He's not just going to jerk you up and make you do anything. You're going to have to answer that call tonight. I wonder tonight, would you come to the Lord? I want to say a prayer. I want to pray for you tonight. I want you to really look inside of yourself and say, if I'm lost, ask yourself, I'm lost. Is there anything worth dying and going to hell over? I would say we'd all answer that question with an astounding no tonight. There's nothing worth dying and going to hell over. Friend, we have no excuse to die and go to hell when there's a Savior out on the mountainside calling your name. If you're here tonight and you're saved by God's amazing grace, you have to ask yourself this question: am I yielded unto His will? Am I allowing Him to polish me up as that pearl of great price? Am I yielding my life to God like I should be? Friend, if you need help, it's right here at this altar tonight. I'm going to pray for you tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name. We come before you tonight thankful, Lord, when we were undeserving sinners down there in the muck and the mire, that you looked on us. And Lord Jesus, you desired us. And I'm thankful, Lord, that 5 years ago this week that you found me, a lost drunk, a lost drug addict, and you saved me. And I bless your sweet name for it, Lord. Words can't describe what I feel in my heart tonight. I stand in awe of your amazing grace and your goodness, dear Lord. And I pray tonight, God, maybe there's a man or a woman in here tonight that's lost and never been saved, God, and they think that they're nothing. Lord, I pray that you would touch them and show them that you can make something out of them, Lord, that they're of great price to you. Lord, I pray that they could see you upon Calvary's cross, bleeding and dying and shedding your life's blood for them. Lord, I pray
that they would have liberty, Lord, just to make that first step towards you, Lord. Lord, I'm glad some 5 years ago when I came to you alone, Lord, that I've never walked again by myself. And I bless you and I praise you and I thank you tonight. Dear Lord, I pray for those that are saved. God, help us to yield ourselves unto you to bring you sweet glory. God, may we just do everything in your will. And I thank you, Lord, for this week. These dear people that have loved me, and I praise you for that, dear Lord, that have made me feel so welcome. God, I pray that you'd look over the balconies of heaven and pour out blessings upon each one. Dear God, we're thankful for this man of God, Brother Wynn. Lord, we thank you for him tonight, and I pray that you'll bless him and his dear family in a mighty way. God, give them the desires of their hearts. Bless this man of God and the work he's doing here. Lord, I pray that you would send him souls for his labor, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.